I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Food for Thought, a podcast gabfest where in a multiracial mix of queer writers gather around the table to talk about sex, identity, culture, what we like to read, and who we like to read. Food for Thought. We're disgusting.
It's true.
I am Tommy Teebs Pico. I'm an indigenous American poet, editor, and tall boy aficionado. I mean the beer and the queers.
I'm Fran. I'm a writer, editor, and I am deprived of nudes right now. I need nudes. I'm very deprived. Please send them through. Thank you.
I am Joseph Osmondson, scientist, nonfiction writer, and y'all, my Twitter might be sad, but I promise that my OnlyFans is a hoot.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh my god.
it's just actually hours and hours of me crying.
Oh my god.
Yes,
I would love to start an OnlyFans of just me eating breakfast and answering emails.
That pomegranate toast this morning looked delicious.
It was
so
good.
I saw your Instagram.
Yeah.
And y'all, I am Dennis Norris II, and I'm a reader, a writer, a former figure skater, and in a cruel twist of fate, as you'll learn later, I am allergic to eggplant.
God just shat on you.
A baba ganoush.
Something I might be willing to try one day. No, actually not.
Joe, will you tell us what we got on the menu this week?
Yes, queens. Today we learned that I am Anne Sexton and Dennis is Anne of Green Gables. Teebs flies the friendly skies.
Ooh.
And we finally do it. We get sexual. We let you have all that we've been so coyly holding back on this show for the last 3 years. And we end by reciting what happened at the Battle of the Bulge.
Ooh.
Take it away. Ooh.
I'm feeling a little peckish, so I think we should start the top of this show the way any good top should, with a little tease, our uproarious appetizer segment, Amuse Bouche. Mm. And to amuse your bouches, Fran got a little game for us.
That's right. Today we're playing one of our classics, one of our favorites. It's called Homonym. And for those non-word nerds out there, a homonym is when two words with different meanings sound the same. So like bear as in rawr, or like bear as in like I'm gonna bear it all. Those are two different words, different meanings. And in our game homonym, we list some similar sounding cultural phenomenons and we decide which is the most homosexual. Are we ready? Thoughts?
Absolutely.
Yes. Dennis and I created this game together, and it's really I'm just excited.
We had a good time.
Celine Dion, Selena Gomez, Selena Quintanilla.
Oh my god, Selena Quintanilla.
Yes.
Obviously.
Is she the gayest though? Because to me,
Celine Dion is very gay.
Celine Dion is the Liberace of our time.
She is so.
I've got to go with Celine Dion.
Okay, well, the reason I'm doing Selena. Fuck Selena Gomez for coming up on my Spotify anytime I search
for Selena. That is a crime.
It is a hate crime.
It is a hate crime.
But anyway, the thing is, like, my Insta Explore is like people at powwows, cats and dogs getting along, and Selena.
That is the best Instagram Explore ever.
And a lot of them are drag queen Selenas. And I'm just like, this is the best.
Drag queen
Selenas. That is an undercurrent of Instagram I need to get on. Dennis?
Listen, the amount of hours that I spent in the 7th grade belting out "That's the Way It Is" by Celine Dion dictates that it has to be Selena.
So the real consensus is fuck Selena Gomez.
Correct. Yes, absolutely.
She's amazing. Not interesting.
Okay.
Although I do like that Talky Talky song she has with Cardi B.
Oh, that. Okay, I actually love that song too.
Producer Alex does not agree.
She's like gonna bark.
No.
We have,
I don't know that song.
Harry Potter. Harry Styles.
Who?
Harry Buttholes.
I
I would warrant a guess that Harry Styles is gayer than Harry Buttholes.
I think that's a very good guess.
Because like a non-Harry Butthole is the gayer one, right?
I would say so.
Yeah, non-Harry bleached butthole.
And like, I also, this is not like, I'm not shaming like Harry Buttholes. I love like a nice hairy butt.
And I love my hairy butt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love
my hairy
butt.
If you can't love your hairy butt, how the hell are you going to love another hairy butt?
Ah, yes.
I am not going to lie. I hate the fact that my butt has any hair.
You should wax.
Pain. But then again, bottom is painful. So
yeah, I would think you were aligned with that.
We should do a full wellness segment wherein we wax your butt. Live on camera.
I'm actually 100% into that. But I am going to say that I feel like, much like Ariana Grande, there has to have been a point where Harry Potter opened his own Chamber of Secrets.
Oh. I do not like that euphemism. Okay, so anyway. We have sharing. Sherry. Cher.
Fran. Sherry.
I hate you, Fran.
Sherry, like the liquor, Sherry, like the old, the like the old granny
that,
liquor.
That like Frasier and Niles are constantly drinking on Frasier. That's pretty gay to
that,
me.
Yeah.
That's like that old man gay that I sometimes like.
But here's the thing though. Sharing, pretty gay.
Sharing is very gay.
That's very
love
gay.
It's sharing with fluids, the sharing, we love sharing spit, sharing yes. each other's clothes.
Sharing emotions.
Yeah. Oh. Why'd you have to bring it? Why'd you have to take it there, Joe?
Yeah.
Why'd you have to take it there?
Just like Venn diagramming of traumas. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes, that's my sexuality.
But is anything gayer than share?
True.
Yeah.
True. This is a tough one. So we have Kerry Washington, Kerry Underwood, Kerry the movie, Kerry the musical.
Oh my god. I was not fortunate enough to catch Kerry the musical, but if you turned like a high school revenge fantasy into a musical, that seems so fucking gay.
So yep. The problem with it is that it's the Kerry the musical is so bad. You know, like when things are so bad that they're gay.
Yeah.
Like with this, it was so bad and then breached a level of badness that it was not gay anymore.
It's crossed itself over in gayness.
Yes.
Wow.
And therefore gay because Kerry was so gay. Yeah.
It's like
the movie.
It's an ex-gay musical.
Yeah.
It's like a recovered gay.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like that. Yeah.
It just went so far around itself that it became straight.
This is the Schrodinger's cat of homonyms. Is what I'm trying to say. We have Fast and Furious, Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
Oh my god. Game over.
And then we have Fasting.
Oh my god. Fasting. This little Christian raised homo says fasting is the gayest of them all.
It really is.
I can't. I'm like
fasting from sex, fasting from masturbation. Sure, we can fast from food.
And like fast, a lot of bottoms fast from food in order to be able to bottom.
That's including me.
That's what makes bottoming so hard is the hardest thing about bottoming is not eating all day.
Oh, I eat all day. So I bottomed last year on Thanksgiving.
Oh no.
My fleet regimen is on point.
Did you really not eat on Thanksgiving?
I ate two giant Thanksgiving meals.
Of course you did.
I had a really lovely dick appointment on Thanksgiving this year, actually, but it was like a situation where before I got there, I was like, you are not going inside me, just so we are clear.
it's like the lazy both lying on the bed jerking off. Like,
I don't think that's lazy. I love that.
I also love it.
And I will suck the shit out of somebody's dick. You know what I mean?
Tommy,
so.
You are...
Suck the turkey gravy out of their dick on Thanksgiving.
Tommy, you are the standing president and CEO of Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
That's,
do you have anything
correct.
To say?
The only thing gayer than Fast Car by Tracy Chapman is me singing Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
Which we have all bear witness to.
We have all seen.
We have Amanda Bynes, Amanda Stenberg, Amanda.
Okay. I have to go.
I'm done.
Yeah. Tommy has quit the show.
I'm done.
Amanda.
Men are gay. This is a fact.
I will
all men
say,
gay? Question mark. A theory.
if they come across Teebs, the answer is definitely Amanda.
Amanda.
If they come across me, I also feel like that's often the case, but I'm more interested in Amandla.
I love Amandla.
She's the best.
Queer icon.
Yeah.
We have Colin Jost, Colin Farrell, Colin Kaepernick.
Ooh, ooh, baby.
Colin Powell. Ooh. Colin Powell. You missed Colin Powell.
Oh, no,
you
we
missed
it.
Your, you missed your sexual groans for Colin Powell.
Listen, that man in a uniform.
I just
oh my God, Dennis, really?
Yes. Wow.
Decolonize your pussy, Dennis.
Wow. Colin Powell was black.
So let's talk about Colin Kaepernick.
No, my answer is Colin Kaepernick.
Okay, so first of all, no one here is surprised that Dennis wants to sleep with a problematic politician once again.
Oh my God.
It's my brand.
The Republican who led the war in Iraq.
Dennis is like, oops,
I don't know.
You wrote this one, Dennis.
I'm a fan. Well, I wouldn't vote for him.
Dennis is like,
invade my pussy.
Yes.
Mission accomplished banner.
The army, take that business model.
Shock
and use it
awesome.
On me. I'm ready.
Oh no.
All right. Let me just
collect
myself.
I do have a photo of myself cuddled up on Colin Kaepernick. Okay. That is a thing that happened in my
life. Wait, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hate you.
I know.
Colin Kaepernick doesn't know it yet, but he's going to marry me.
He's very tall.
He's going to choke me.
How tall? Because he's an athlete, right? So a lot of athletes are tall. And when you see him next to other athletes, but he's like 6'4.
Yeah, he's.
Like, I came up to like the bottom of his nipple.
That is your range.
I thought he was like 6'7", 6'8".
No. He's not like tall like that. No. He's like 6'4".
We have Crackers Goldfish, Crackers Ritz, Cracker Barrel.
You guys suck.
Cracker the Racial Slur.
Oh, I was trying to find a way to work that in there. Thank you.
Dennis wrote this one as well.
Inappropriate. Y'all, I'm from Ohio. I love me some Cracker Barrel.
Have you ever seen the supercut of Lady Gaga saying, I'm Italian, like 400 times?
Oh my God, yes.
I want a supercut of you saying, guys, I'm from Ohio.
it is what it is.
We have Donald Glover.
Don't do this.
No.
Don Draper. Donald Trump Jr. Donald Duck.
Oh, Donald Duck is the gayest.
He doesn't wear pants.
No, he just pants and he wiggles his tail.
Mm. Oh,
for sure. His back is permanently arched.
Yes, permanently arched.
That's who I learned it from.
Oh.
Okay. Origin story over here.
Gay icon,
okay.
Donald
but
Duck.
How many people at this table have Googled John Hamm's bulge?
Oh my God, I did it this morning.
So.
Where do you think I got the idea?
Research. This is why Dennis writes off their internet on their taxes. And if they ever get called out on it, they will email
self-care.
The IRS being like, no, bulge research. Listen to my show.
Literally,
listen to my podcast.
It's for work, Mom.
Yes.
Anne Hathaway. Anne Sexton.
Ooh.
Anne of Green Gables.
Oh, so gay.
Anne Boleyn.
Oof.
Like Queen Anne.
So, yeah, she
they're
lost.
Also gay. Anne Sexton is sad gay, which is my lane.
Anne Sexton is for sure sad gay. But
so
I would
true.
Also, and Anne of Green Gables did create Dennis's personality.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Also yes. A gay icon.
Yes.
I also sobbed to the end of Anne of Green Gables in fifth grade in class, which I got made fun of for like the rest
but
of
the
my
end of that, oh, it's so beautiful.
Oh, yeah. That couldn't have been the first time they saw you sobbing at something.
But I think
though.
It was. I think it's when I became a sad
imagine
gay.
Imagine being in fifth
wow.
grade and seeing Joe sobbing at the end of Anne of Green Gables. I would have to bully the shit out of you.
I would beat you up.
Yeah. I wouldn't bully you because I was raised right, but I would be giving you sketchy looks like, what is his problem? He needs
what
prayer.
But okay, caveat.
Exactly.
A caveat is Anne Boleyn, what is gayer than being beheaded?
Yeah.
Truly. That is the gayest way to die.
So dramatic.
Literally, she lives for the drama.
So dramatic.
Yep.
We have Houston, Texas. Houston, Angelica. Houston, Whitney.
Oh.
Oh, God. Did you see the Houston
that
documentary?
Tough.
That was so sad. Homophobia killed Whitney Houston.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That documentary is something to get through.
Yeah, I need to see that. I haven't seen it yet.
Has anybody read the Angelica Houston biography?
She left nothing. Like, she really looked under every single carpet and rug of Hollywood and let it out there.
And all the entire book is opulent descriptions of all the places she's lived and all of the outfits she's ever worn.
Houston Angelica.
Yeah, and it's a tell-all. It's literally a tell-all memoir. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Lastly, we have Grande Ariana. Grande Frankie. Grande, as in the Rio Grande.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Grande Nachos Bell. Grande. Dennis wrote this. Grande Peppermint Mocha.
Wow.
That is a lot of options, people.
And I just
Alex the producer just walked out of the room.
Yeah, no.
Alex the producer just left.
Is this like...
She's like, I need to look over these docs before we do them. I did not sign up to produce this fucking show.
And I feel
show.
Like you're like doing a warm-up before a run, because this is a lot of reaching. You know what I mean?
there was a lot of stretching happening. Yes, mm-hmm. This is a yoga class.
Uh-huh. I don't know what you're talking about. This fits perfectly. They sounded...
It's perfect.
Great together.
I think it's perfect.
I would say Ariana Grande when she's singing Don't Dream It's Over with Miley Cyrus, because they're like,
oh, so
my
other.
God. I forgot about that. That's a lesbian fantasy.
That was actually my introduction to Ariana Grande. I had heard her name
too.
A lot, but that I didn't know who she
that
was.
That was the one where I was like, this little girl could sing.
And
huh?
It's also the best, it's still to this day is the best thing she's ever done.
I believe
everything
so.
Since then has been a disappointment.
Mm-hmm. True. Well, Joe, well, there's no Joe need has for you to passive aggressively insert your opinion about Thank You Next into this podcast.
That was not passive aggressive. That was aggressive aggressively.
We are not interested in that wrong opinion.
So I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to say it. Ariana Grande is one of the foremost musical minds of our generation. We have to respect
she
it.
She is trolling gay people.
Okay. It's like, I think that might be a bit of a reach.
It's
but...
like, let me pander. Let me take every gay reference and put it in one music video.
Okay.
And
that
everyone
music
is
video.
Jerk off to it.
That music video was created in a homosexual laboratory for gay people.
I hate it.
what would your three movies be?
Just do one movie and do it well.
Mine would be Wayne's World, Sister Act 2, and The Little Mermaid.
Oh my god. See, my that's too god. Much. It's muddled. I do not care.
Mine
for
would
it.
Be Moonstruck starring Cher, Burlesque starring Cher, Mermaid starring Cher. Great.
Mine would be a supercut of myself crying for 3 hours.
Amazing.
Wow. Oh my god.
Well, thanks for playing, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
For our second course, we have this filthy animal in the studio, Tommy Teams Pico. Hey, how's it going, bitch?
You know, I'm all right. You know, little bit on a sexual walkabout, as they say. As you know, I am bi-coastal.
Truly. Hate you.
Go away. The thing is, Tommy did that joke 17 times before we turned
it
on the mic.
It doesn't matter.
I'm very good at saying things like I said it for the first time. That's just basically me and sex being like... I do want it, yeah.
And today you have an amazing bi-coastal impure thought story for us.
Yeah.
If you don't know what an impure thought is when we tell a salacious sex story or like something that is totally...
Horrible. Or something horrible.
Something horrible, hookup-y, kissing even... Or something, whatever.
Kissing,
maybe a question mark? But yeah, Tommy, go for it. Tell us what's what.
So I left New York not too long ago, and I was moving, and I was also on tour, and you know I had like a bunch of shit due, and so it was like I didn't really deal with moving, like the psychological aspects of moving, like I didn't think about what I would miss. I kind of like in big transitions in my life, I find that they're so overwhelming that I live in a state of denial.
Yeah.
So I didn't really prepare myself for leaving New York. It's a place that I've lived and has been home for 15 years,
right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it's not like I'm permanently gone. I'm just here a lot less. And I'm not even in Los Angeles that often either. I'm like traveling all the motherfucking time. And so I wasn't even really dealing with it. And it wasn't until the plane started to descend into LAX. And over the intercom, one of the flight attendants said, on behalf of your New York-based flight crew, if you live in Los Angeles, welcome home. And I was like,
oh my God, I'm home. Oh,
oh
God.
Whoa.
Oh God.
And like, I just started sobbing.
Ah!
Because I was like,
feels.
Yeah, I was like, I'm here. Oh, wow. My God. And and it was like, I'm here. And like, everyone I love is back there. And I don't even have like an apartment yet. You know what I mean? It was just like too many overwhelming emotions. And like, the flight attendant was like giving me napkins. So I was like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, I've been that girl before.
Yeah, I mean, I've been that person once. Joe was that person once a day. But yeah, so then I was staying with a friend of mine, and her boo was sick, and she was like, if you could just like drop your stuff off and then like go to a cafe or something and wait for me to get off work. And I was like, sure, I'll just go to the Line Hotel. I love that place.
Love
so
that
like
place.
Doing work there. And then she was like, oh God, my coworkers are going bowling. I have to go with them. Can you just hang out for a little bit longer? Oh, and I was like, the good thing, I know. But the good thing about that is like, you know, it's part of the lobby is a cafe and part of it is a bar. And it's like, it had transitioned into later on in the night. So I was like, okay, I'll just like get a drink. And there were like these, I was trying to do work. I had like an interview to do. And there was this like group of gays to my right. I
the
know.
The worst.
Just disgusting. You know, they were tongue popping. They were like, look at snatched, honey. Like, da 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 da. And I was like, oh, fucking shit. Am I homophobic? Yes.
Every day I ask myself the same question.
And then I kind of like turned to the side so that I wouldn't be facing them. And then they walked around me and sat in my line of view.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, God, I hope they don't try to talk to me at a certain point. And then one of them reached out and was like, hey, you were on my flight. And I was like, oh, fuck. And I was like, I turned to them and I was like, so how was your flight? And then they all started laughing. He was like, no, we were the crew.
Whoa. Yeah. A gay flight attendant?
I know. No.
That is a personal fantasy of mine.
And, carry on bags.
And I was like, oh shit. And I was like, and I told them the whole story about moving and about like descending and then hearing their voice and being like, oh my God, you welcomed me to this other phase of my life. Like, thank you so much. And then it was fine. We were all talking and, you know, I was asking them about like, their craziest, because they do the LA to New York leg.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, oh my God, who has been crazy on your flight? And, you know, who has been in mint? How has Bobby Cannavale come in? Has he bared his? You know, I'm just like, who's been in this? Who have you waited on? Who was the worst? Who was the best? And then I was asking them about like Qantas Air and like, you know, like the Crazy Rich Asians. And I was like, is that true? Are there airplanes that just have apartments in them and they have showers and all that? And that's true. And like some of those flights, like $20,000 and shit.
Yeah. Oh my God, yes. I've been on one before. Not an apartment one, but like one that was like
the
flight was like five figures.
Oh my God.
This message comes from iHeartRadio sponsor, Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should really think about getting a quote from Mercury, because Californians save an average of $677 with Mercury. It's quick and easy, and in just a few minutes, you might find you could save a lot of money on your auto and home insurance. Plus, Mercury was named one of America's best insurance companies by Insure.com 4 years in a row. Low rates, big discounts, great insurance. Go to mercuryinsurance.com today to get a quote.
It's crazy how much we have to pay for outdated, impersonal healthcare, and even crazier that we all just accept it. It's time to face facts. Healthcare is backwards. Luckily, there's Forward, a new approach to primary care that's surprisingly personal and refreshingly straightforward. Forward never makes you feel like just another patient. Backed by top-rated doctors and the latest tech, Forward gives you access to personalized care whenever you need it. Using in-depth genetic analysis and real-time blood work, Forward's top-rated doctors provide you with in-depth insights to better understand your genetics, mental, and physical health. They then create custom, easy-to-understand plans to help guide you to achieving long-term health. With Forward, you get unlimited in-person visits with your doctor and access to care anytime via the Forward app, all for one flat monthly fee. It's time to stop accepting backwards healthcare and start moving your health forward. Visit GoForward.com today to learn more. That's GoForward.com.
Sticky notes, email alerts, a string around your finger. They're just not big enough.
So here's a big reminder from the California Lottery. Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot is over 350 million.
Whew. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player client.
Hi, everyone. It's Katie Couric here to tell you that my podcast, Next Question, is back with a whole new season. New guests, new topics, same curious me.
My next question.
My next question.
My next question.
So here's my next question. I want to talk about all the things, like how we're going to get to a post-COVID world. Can you even imagine it? How to heal from the trauma of this year and how to find and share joy despite it all. Join me for season 3 of Next Question with Katie Couric. New episodes every Thursday. Subscribe and listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
It was amazing.
Did you pay for it?
I did not pay for it. Are you kidding me?
Is Fran,
do I look like a sultan?
I haven't even been gone that long and Fran's bawling like that. I didn't know. But anyway, so then the flight attendant who had been taking care of me, she was like, oh, she pulled up to the bar, and then we had a moment, and then the guy who had initially reached out, they were like, oh, I think we're all gonna go to a ramen place. And then she was like, you know, Sean or Mark or dude or whatever. She was like, you know, Jeff, you don't really like ramen though. So, you know, but they have like burgers at the bar. And so like that, you could just stick around here. She was like being a wing person.
And also the burger at the line is actually very
good. Pretty good.
It's
really good. Yeah. And so then he stayed behind and I was like, we were talking. And the thing is like, he is probably all of like 5'7". You know what I mean?
Like
5'6".
He was
just very short.
It's not your type, Tommy.
Short for you.
I don't really go hard for short men like that, but I respect.
A short king.
But I respect game. You know what I mean? And I respect flirting.
He was short and physical, but tall in game.
Yeah, he was tall in game. That game was long.
Listen. Before we move on, I just would like to say that I love a short king. I stand.
Oh, I also love
Please
a short king.
Please slide into my DMs and not Tommy's.
I also have no problem with a short king.
I don't.
Get it.
You know what? It's not that it's not usually what I'm looking for, but sometimes you don't get what you're looking for, but you get what you need.
Yes.
And he was like, do you want to come up to my room, have a drink? And I was like, yeah, okay. I gave him the once over. I was like, you know what? You come up to my waist, but I'm not gonna let this opportunity go to waste. You know what I mean? Then like we get to his room and it's just like, I love flirting so much and I just love it. I love it when somebody just, I love the proposition. You know, and I was like, I'm going to give this to you. So we get up to his room and I'm just like riding him like, yeah.
Let me just skip everything else. Yeah. Teams is like, I love flirting. And he's inside me. He's deep inside me.
And I was like doing all these moves. I was pulling moves like I was 23. And I was just like, you know, like squatting. And like, I was like, you know, doing the back roll. And I was like, you know, getting down on it. And then I like something in my knee went right instead of going left. And I was like, ruh-roh. I don't know what that's all about. And then but I was like so into it. I was
you're
like, well, you know what? If I just broke my knee, I better make it worth something. So
yes.
I just like kept going.
Yes,
and it did not get better.
Oh, no. But I was like, it gets worse, everybody. Yeah. It
I was
gets
like, this
worse.
Probably it's probably not gonna be good for me in the morning, but it's great right now. And in the morning he woke up, he's like, you know, I'm gonna go to the gym. Do you need anything? And I was like, No, I'm fine, baby, I'm fine. And then he leaves and I get up and I fall like a sack of potatoes. Like my knee will not sustain me. And the view was like right of like he had a room that was like right at the line sign. There's like a huge sign in front of the line that says line. And I was like, I like looked up from the carpet into like the line sign. I was like, I woke up like this. Like
did you have one of the? You had the room that had like the curtains that closed with the remote.
Yep.
Oh my god.
That and just to so wake up epic. Like that, it was cool. But like my knee was fucked up for 6 weeks.
Wow.
Yo. I have not been on a run.
Two months.
Wow. Oh my god.
I haven't had a run nut since before I left. Wow. Yeah.
And it was just like your body was not used to the angles of a person who was not 6'4". Is that what it was?
That was a part of it. Also trying to pull 22-year-old moves when you're 35 don't really work out the same way anymore.
That's real.
But you know, I think sometimes, you know, we always talk about types or, you know, this is what we're looking for. And sometimes it's just you need to discover that in the moment with the person.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, it was worth the sprain.
Yeah.
Again and again and again.
Oh my God.
Listen. Get it. Get in where you fit in.
So, wow. Flight attendant sex. Mm-hmm. Really, truly. That is the thing. Would you say you know, prior you told him a nice story and he was handling your emotional baggage. And then later on he handled your baggage.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And he... smacks it up, flipped it, rubbed it down. Oh no! Yeah. Me, I know.
I bet he is.
That's a,
you'll carry on.
Because sometimes, the short dudes who I have dated and fooled around with, it's just like they love the size difference.
Uh-huh,
and a part of it, you know, being like manhandled by a little man is like sometimes you have to play along with it, you know, because you're like, yeah, you lifting that, and it's like you can't really lift that on your own. But
oh no, I love that. I love a man who just looks like I could break him over my knee.
Yeah, a little Napoleon. You know what I mean?
Same, same.
Well, Tommy, thank you for living our fantasies so that we don't have to.
HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so that you can just cook, eat, and enjoy.
Achieving your 2019 goals is as easy as enjoying delicious home-cooked meals with HelloFresh.
Fresh pre-measured ingredients and easy-to-follow recipe cards are delivered to your door each week in a special insulated box. There are three plans to choose from: classic, veggie, and family, with the option to switch between for when your tastes change.
Get out of that recipe rut and start cooking outside of your comfort zone by discovering new, delicious recipes.
Y'all, those pork tacos, I like have incorporated some of the tricks from that recipe into my everyday cooking. They were so good.
The get pork tacos, so good.
Amazing.
Take advantage of HelloFresh's special offer for 2019. Get $80 off your first month by going to HelloFresh.com/THOT80 and enter THOT80. That's $80 off your first month. Just go to HelloFresh.com/THOT80 and enter THOT80. Mm. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, "You smell amazing. What cologne are you wearing?" With Scentbird, I found a way to have great taste without breaking the bank. Whether it's Versace, Gucci, or Dolce & Gabbana, Scentbird.com keeps me smelling good month after month.
Y'all, this is Joe, and this is going to surprise everyone, but I got a Gucci cologne.
Okay.
And it's the only Gucci I can afford. And I put it on right on my naked skin, and I walk around all day smelling great, but also just feeling wealthy.
So are you officially a capitalist now?
No, still a Marxist.
No,
still
I think
100%
you are a capitalist. I don't have this on the record.
The only thing you have to lose is your funk.
Scentbird is a luxury fragrance subscription service that helps you mix up your cologne or perfume routine.
Scentbird has more than 450 designer brands for you to choose a cologne or perfume from each month.
Choose the cologne or perfume you want to try, and they'll send you a 30-day supply.
And with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you can get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance. Go to scentbird.com/THOT and use our code THOT for 50% off your first month. Again, that is scentbird.com/THOT for you to try your first cologne or perfume for just $7.50. Sign on. Smell amazing.
Stitch Fix is an online personal styling service that finds and delivers clothes, shoes, and accessories to fit your body, budget, and lifestyle.
Just go to stitchfix.com/THOT and tell them your sizes, what styles you like, and how much you want to spend on each item. You'll be paired with your very own personal stylist who will handpick items to send right to your door.
Then you try them on, pay only for what you love, and return the rest. Shipping, exchanges, and returns are always free. There's no subscription required. You can sign up to receive scheduled shipments or get your fix whenever you want. Stitch Fix's styling fee is only $20, which is applied toward anything you keep from your shipment.
Get started now at stitchfix.com/THOT and you'll get an extra 25% off when you keep all items in your box. That's Stitch Fix. That's stitchfix.com/THOT to get started today. Stitchfix.com/what?
THOT.
Items in your box.
Items in your box.
Call me again.
It's time we got to the meat of our discussion, the thought process spelled THOT.
THOT.
This week brought to us by Fran.
That's right. Today, We're going to talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you. Okay, so I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. But like, okay, we put out a call asking all y'all, what topics do you want us to talk about? What do you want us to tackle for the rest of our season? And a lot of y'all were like, talk about sex. And I was like, well, that's stupid.
We already do.
Because like our podcast is sex. That is our brand. Like every single episode. But then I thought about it and I was like, where we do have a lot of like nuanced discussions about like sexual health and intimacy, like rarely on this godforsaken podcast do we like really get into it. You know, like what does sex mean to each of y'all? And you know, I'm sure everyone in our audience thinks that we are just like a bunch of cum dumpsters getting filled like 7 days a week. And like for sure,
correct.
Like
that's just Joe.
Yeah, that's me. Like, yes. Joe. Yeah, yeah.
You guys, I've been so busy in the last 2 months that it's been like once a week for me.
Oh my God.
I can't.
Whatever. But anyways, for the rest of us, we all have very different sexual lives. And that is the understatement of the century. But enough foreplay. I want to know, what are your sexual pet peeves?
Oh my god,
what are things that you can't stand?
Some of them stem from what it is that I really do like. So I love a good dirty talker. You know what I mean? I love it verbal. You know what I mean? Talk That Talk by Rihanna is the shit, because that's about consent. And I love how I just love the sound of people's voices. I'm obsessed with people's voices. And so when somebody can give it to you good, I was saying this one guy named I'm just gonna call him Jay, and he had like this such a deep whiskey voice, and hearing him say my name while he was fucking me was the best ever. He had a little dick and couldn't fuck, but his voice was great.
Oh damn.
Honestly, sometimes a good enough voice is all you need.
Yeah,
to get
truly,
you.
Truly.
But it was a nub. He had a nub dick. But anyway, so my pet peeve is somebody who is bad at talking.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know? Silence is better than bad talking.
Absolutely.
Okay, bad talking. So here's the thing. That's me. I hate dirty talk. I cannot engage with it. I can't even like sext. Like
sexting is weird.
I can't click,
I love sexting.
I cannot click into the fantasy of dirty talk. Have you ever seen the episode of Sex and the City where Miranda is trying to navigate how to dirty talk with someone?
Yes. Oh my god,
yes. If you have not seen it, it's the most incredible scene, because she's telling her friends that she can't do it, and her friends are like, just like talk about his dick, like get him, like talk about his dick. And so it like cuts to her in bed with this guy, and she goes, I love your dick like a rock, a hard rock sausage. She's like just trying to navigate how. Anyways, that's me.
Yeah.
Me, I'm in bed and I'm like, love your sausage rock. It is good.
Oh god.
Yes.
But the thing is, if you can't imagine saying it in real life, don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, because that's where good dirty talk comes from. And it's like, you can tell somebody's got a filthy mouth, and I just want that mouth all over me.
That stems on another pet peeve of mine, is when someone watches too much porn. Well, maybe not watches too much porn, but takes too much away from porn when they try to engage in bed. And I'm like, you can say that in a porn. You can't say that here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm so sorry. And like, trying to learn how to have sex from porn is like trying to learn how to drive from The Fast and the Furious. Yeah. Like fully, that is, you cannot do that.
It does not work.
And I think, I don't know if this is y'all's experience, but so oftentimes that's been with younger people. It's like, you learned how to fuck
so
from porn.
True.
You learned how to fuck from porn.
Because we didn't
you?
Have porn videos I growing up.
You know what? Yeah.
We had to download the images line by line on the dial up.
I do love loud sex though.
Like, oh,
I love, if there's no one home, I love to have it. It's so luxurious
when there's no one home.
It's very luxurious.
And we all live in New York. Many of us have roommates. Like, when there's no one home and you get to, like, smash the walls and scream.
I like
when a man tells me to scream.
Because
I always am like, I'm like inhibited a little bit. And when he's like, no, I want to hear you fucking scream. And I'm like,
I just lost my breath. Joe, what are your pet peeves?
My pet peeves, I'm going to say the little one first. And then I totally agree with you about the porn thing. But my first little pet peeve for those of you who slide into my Grindr is the word play for sex. I hate it. I don't know why.
Oh, but
like, it's like when people on Grindr are like, you want to play? And I'm like, just say fuck. Like, you don't need to infantilize
euphemisms
it.
Euphemisms for sex are the worst.
Exactly. Just agreed. Say you want to pork?
Say what it is.
I had this one dude call it snuggles, and I was like, I'm never seeing you again. I will never see you ever again.
Snuggles?
Yeah. He's like, you want to get some snuggles? Snuggles? No. Bitch, I want to get some fucking. Yeah.
On the record, if anyone DMs me asking me if I want a pork, I will.
Fran loves
because
the pork.
I will be immediately charmed by you.
I think, and then in the larger conversation, the more serious conversation, I think fantasy can be so hot, but it's hotter as a fantasy than it would be acted out.
Oh, ooh, yeah. I want to put a pin. I want that. I want to put a pin on it. Dennis, what are your pet peeves?
So I have a couple. First of all, I have to say I also love dirty talk. Sometimes that's all I need.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm like, we could just have phone sex and
I believe
get
that.
It, get it done with.
Yeah.
I love phone sex, actually.
It's very
sexting,
hot.
But yes.
And I like sexting, all that stuff. I like words, so I'm into words. But when I'm having sex, and often, like, I'm pretty submissive, and so a lot of times there's a bit of a sub-dom thing going on, not, like, really deep into that, but a little bit. A lot of these men want to call me boy.
Oh.
And I can't. I absolutely can't. And, I mean, one, the infantilization of that just freaks me out.
Mm-hmm.
And two, like, I do sleep with a lot of white men.
Nope.
And a lot of white men who are older than me.
Nope.
So if there's already a sort of sub-dom thing going on, and they're white, and they're masculine, and they're old, and they're calling me boy, takes me right back to a film from the 60s. So I can't do it.
Here's the thing.
I can't do it.
A lot of white people don't know the cultural meaning of the word boy. Will you break it down?
So the reason why it's such an issue for so many black men in particular to be called boy, whether it's sexually or otherwise, is because during Jim Crow era, the fact was that was what a lot of white people, that's how a lot of white men and a lot of white people talked to black men.
Mm-hmm.
Like grown ass black men raising families with jobs, with careers. It could be anyone from a man who was like your butler to a black man who was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly, that was a really complicated thing if there was a situation with like the police or with the law where like you were called a boy because you were not considered a man and you could not be considered a man because that was a threat to the power structure of the society that you were in.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I would like to think that I could divorce all of that history from like my own sexual being,
but I shouldn't have to.
Yeah. And I can't. It's too much.
And it's like there's such a dissonance with that because it's like there's this infantilization of black men by calling them boys, but then black men never getting to be boys.
Exactly. It's this crazy catch. It's this insane catch 22 that is really affecting our culture in so many ways. And like, I know that like my bedroom and my sex life is this very personal like place, but I can't like stop thinking about that.
Yeah.
When that's the case.
When their fantasy encroaches on yours.
Yeah. And they may not even realize that their fantasy like has all of the, I mean, a lot of times they don't, that their fantasy has all of those like
implications
and implications.
And slavery.
And going back to slavery. But that's like, I also I've not had this happen, but I don't know if I could ever deal with like being sub and dom to the point where I'm getting whipped.
Mm.
Like, I don't know if I can handle that. I don't know.
Meanwhile, just hit me up.
Love to be whipped.
I like being spanked, but that's my own daddy issue.
Having somebody
smacked across the
face. Oh my god!
I don't want to be smacked across
the face. Oh, there was this guy, Gabe, one time, and he was like dropping me off in my apartment. And then I was like, "You can come up if you want to." And then we were making out, and then he pushed me against the door, slapped me hard across the face, and I was like, I didn't know I wanted it so bad.
Hysterical laughter.
I've had that happen once and wanted it, but that was like a guy that I was dating. Like, he was my boyfriend at the time, and it was hot.
I mean, I think it's a really like,
and he was black.
These questions, and we've talked about this with the consent episode as well, because you had that reaction to slapping, but you had a different reaction to
getting spit on.
Spitting,
yeah,
right?
So yeah, it's
like, and those to me are like on the same they're in the same lane of traffic, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like negotiating what you want and what you don't want when you're still discovering that yourself, and doing it with consent, and then understanding that like a lot of the shit that I jerk off to, like a lot of the porn I watch and things that I enjoy, I wouldn't necessarily want to do those things.
Same.
And if I do, like, I have sort of stepped into doing some more of those kinky things, but you have to do it in such a way. Like, the fantasy is often like, drop me off in the middle of a BDSM sex party, tie me up, and let everyone go nuts on me, right? But like, That is not what you just want. Like, you have to, like, work your way and, like, see how mm-hmm. little things feel on the pathway toward that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, that, I think that distinction between your fantasies and then how you actually want to act is a place where a lot of people get in. I've gotten in trouble with that before, where yeah. I've set up a sort of a scenario or like a sex hookup, and then it was a total fantasy and it sounded so hot, and then it started happening and I was like, no,
like, yeah, I feel that way about making plans in general. It's like, this sounds so, I for sure want to go to the movies with you, and then the day of, and I'm like, I wanted to do it right up until now.
Thomas's fantasy is leaving the house.
That is my sexuality.
This very moment.
Exactly.
That is, I feel like that is my sexuality. I'm so often just being like, you know what?
On the topic of porn, because yes. that's what you said was interesting to me. The fact that there are things that are that are fantasied into your head when you watch porn, and then you're like, I don't want to do that in real life.
Absolutely.
Are there like creators of erotic films or porn that you do that would actually create the world that you live in? Does anybody have, I mean, so if you've never heard of Noel Alejandro, like he's an amazing erotic filmmaker. Like he makes like adult films, and they're his version of like porn is so real life. It's kind of like when you watch like, what's like a really good sex scene in like a movie? Like, have you seen the sex scene in BPM?
Oh my God, yeah. that is amazing.
It is the most incredible. You're like, that is real life. I wish porn was like that.
Because it's like erotic, but not explicit.
Yeah.
I have been getting off on Twitter porn lately.
Oh,
which is
me
like
too.
Which is like a really fun thing.
Wait,
that has been
happening.
So Twitter doesn't have like Instagram, you can't post explicit stuff, but Twitter doesn't have that. And so a lot of porn stars in the last few years have been making this move from like making videos with studios to making porn
for themselves OnlyFans
with their other porn star friends, and then they do it on their OnlyFans and post like 2-minute clips to Twitter, and it just feels like it's like the best of amateur porn, where it seems like it's people having fun with their friends, but also like the production value and like kind of kink funness of actual porn stars, and it is just like really, really fun. And so there are a couple of people that it's really hard because like I don't have a fake Twitter, and like you can't follow these people, because I'll be on Twitter in my like office or whatever, and then like hardcore porn comes up. You're like, I don't really know. I haven't yet figured out how to deal with that, but for sure there are a few people on Twitter porn where I'm just like, the whole like world that you're building is like absolutely very sexy to me.
Yeah.
You can create a Twitter list on your app and just have just a porn list.
Oh, I love this
for
idea.
Really? You're welcome. Oh. Yeah.
I'm curious though, like what makes the fantasy so hot and the reality so stark? I mean, I think too, like my imagination has more, maybe, I don't know, fucking pheromones or you know, drive or whatever than my body does, because it's like, I like the idea of big dicks. I love the idea of big dicks. I love the idea of big fucking meaty uncut dicks and like low hanging balls or whatever. Yeah. But when a guy pulls down his pants and he has a big dick, I'm like,
run!
I'm not into it.
What am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, I mean, is this like a weird ornament? Like, I don't know what.
I gotta put a leash on it and take it for a walk. I mean,
exactly.
Oh my God, I just arched my back so hard.
But I feel the same thing about, you know, sort of being spit roasted, you know, and like the idea of it, or like DP, the idea of it. Oh. I'm like, I could get, Joe already did that, but
many times.
But it's like, there are so many of the ideas that are hot to me, and then the actual application is like, I didn't sign up for this. Did I sign up for this?
I have an idea. So I feel like I was talking to a good friend of mine and friend of the show, Tina Horn.
I was going to say.
Who's in a long-term relationship, mostly not super monogamous, but, you know, primary partner. And we were talking about, like, this sort of duality that you get from coupling with sex. But I also think it's just a thing that we look for in sex that can make something really hot, but then not hot in reality. That what you need in your sex life, whether you're partnered or not, is both safety and novelty. And like when you try to put, it's really hard to get both from the same person, because obviously if you feel safe, that's because you really like feel like you know what's coming. And but you also at the same time want something new and fresh all the time.
Ooh,
right.
Juicy.
So, you know, I think that queerness offers a lot of paradigms for the way to do that, where like you can grow and do like adventurous thing with someone you really, really trust. Like, my sexuality is getting spit roasted with my boyfriend, right? Where it's like I have the safety of like really trusting. So I think that's, for me, that's where fantasy becomes less hot, when I have the novelty without the safety, right? And fantasy is super hot when I like am able to work into it where I still feel safe. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I'm, you know, going to be harmed or harm myself or where I trust the other people around. That can be the hardest thing. It's like oftentimes when you don't have a partner, it's like, how do I trust the other people that I'm doing this freaky shit with?
Right.
My novelty is just like, when can we relax? When can we watch a Netflix documentary while I answer emails?
Yeah.
Like, that is my novelty.
Holding hands on the way to the deli. Like, can we do that? Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Novelty is a third date.
Oh, no. That is a fantasy.
Wow.
Ooh. Oh, my God. That's so true.
But that, I think that is something that, like, this, the conversation about what we get from our long-term partners, whether they are boyfriends or fuck buddies or whatever, that, like, what do you all look, is sex important to you in relationships and dating?
Interesting question. Not really.
Right.
I've said on the pod before that, like, I identify as a sexual camel. I can have really great sex for, like, a handful of moments and then, like, go into the sexual desert for, like, 8 months and, like, be fine. Mm-hmm. Like, and just store all that sexual energy in my hump.
Your lovely lady love.
As it were. But yeah, sex is still really important. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, I fucking love sex. But I think that I rarely make decisions for sex, if ever.
Until it gets to that point. I'm at that point right now where I'm just like, I need to get it in at some
Correct.
Point. I like yeah. It's been too long. And now it's like all of the little safety that I have in check or a concept of standards, they're out the door.
Standards. I love it when standards go out the door.
See, oh my God, I love that. That doesn't happen to me. Like, most of my sexual encounters are the ones that fall into my lap.
Wow.
I don't pursue that. And it's a lot of it is because I'm just, like, going to trust that it's going to come back to me, just like, you know, karma or whatever. But, like, I just really never rearrange plans, create engagements around sex.
Fran, when you think about dating, is, like, having good sexual chemistry with someone important to you in dating?
I've also said this before. I don't like having sex with people that I don't like.
Right.
Or at least trust a little bit. There's a little bit of trust that I have to have in the person, and therefore I can't have sex. I can't have casual encounters.
Right.
Or unless I've lubed up with them at the bar and I, like, get a sense of their personality or who they are, and I can trust that, like, I can go to bed with them, but I cannot do, that's why I don't have Grindr in all honesty. I can't, like, get all of that, you know, personality foreplay out of whatever it, you know.
Yeah. I think that I've done the performative thing of trying to find yourself in your 20s, and that person has been found. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here.
Like, you were on the missing milk carton, and then
now, you know,
and now you're on, like, a CNN recap, and, like, guess where she is now?
Yeah, exactly.
And guess what she's up to 10 years later.
And I am here, like, you know, fucking Celie in the Color Purple musical. You know what I mean?
I'm thinking of that
musical.
But the thing is, like, I feel like I'm not on the journey of self-discovery anymore.
Right.
And in that way, I feel like I could be with somebody and be fully myself and compromise or not compromise or whatever, and not feel like, because my apprehension about getting in relationships before was that I had too mutable of a personality. I would end up merging too soon and become that other person. That other person's likes would be my likes. The other person's shit would be my shit. Their favorite movies would be my favorite movies. And I have all those things now. But I feel like in a lot of ways my life is in a holding pattern because I just stay at the house and write. Mm-hmm. You know, whether I'm in LA or here, it's just so much of my life is dependent on my creative life. And so much of my self-worth is ensconced in the writing itself, that I don't find as much time to just, like, live, you know? And so going out and meeting somebody and getting to know somebody and spending that time and having that courtship and discovering that kind of love, it seems like such a time commitment that I don't know if I'm prepared to do right now. But if it wasn't that much work, I would do it. But if it wasn't that much work, everyone would be doing it.
Yes. So what you're saying is that actually the casual encounter for you right now, like, is nice because it fits into your life.
Honestly, the hose and the area codes.
It meets your needs. Absolutely. It fits into your life.
And because I'm on the road so much, it's like, there's that guy in Chicago. There's this guy in Brooklyn. There's that guy in the Bay Area. You know what I mean? I'm going to stop by St. Louis. There's Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, my God. Columbus.
Team's hard same.
Dick is good in Columbus.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
That's a hard same, though. Like, the only sex that I have is sex that's convenient for me.
Yeah.
Oh, that revolves around me.
I do the crazy. I like, because everyone else will be like, I don't travel for dick. And I'm like, I do. I will take, I will, well, I Dennis, will go to fucking Westchester County. I've got on an airplane to Chicago a few times just to get the D.
Wow. I mean, who, I can't remember.
Good, yeah. Worth it. No, you know, no,
yeah. Who was the one that said on this show, like, it's better to travel for me. Good dick than get bad dick local?
Correct. That's me. That's I you. Still stand by that.
Yeah. Dennis. This is the thing. I feel like I'm only really interested in sex in a relationship right now, and I'm not that interested in a relationship.
Oh.
Like, at this moment. Mm. So, in theory, when I think about, like, my relationships, my potential partnerships, like, I want a man that I am so turned on by and who is so turned on by me that we're fucking every day, that we're having a really good time with it, and that... we're able to do everything that we want to do, that we're able to try new things, we're able to, like, all the things that I might be scared to sort of explore on my own right now as a single person, that I would have someone to do it with. And there's a lot of things that I'm curious to explore that I haven't yet. I might, maybe in theory, one day want to try topping someone.
What?
Teams of space.
Maybe. But remember,
Tommy.
Oh, I don't even know you anymore.
Tommy's that meme of the woman with all the mathematical equations. She's like,
That's theoretical, and I've never done it before. I would love to maybe try some S&M. I would love to maybe try... I mean, I've had a couple threesomes. They haven't been great. I'd love to try... groups. I had a guy that I dated a couple of years ago briefly who really wanted to share me with a bunch of his friends.
Ooh.
And I wasn't comfortable with that, and that's why it ended. He was like all about that. I wasn't ready for it. I'm ready for it now.
Slide back in.
See, that's like, one of those things that it sounds so hot to me, but I don't know how I'd actually feel about it.
But I will also say that, like, you know, I was very insecure about my blowjob skills for a long time because I have a really strong gag reflex, right? And our bodies do and don't do certain things,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's what, like, it makes me feel so much better to be like, well, I've actually learned how to deep throat, but, like, it kind of has to be in the way that feels comfortable to me. And, like, people who really like that, I'm able to give them this thing that they really like. And I can tell, but, like, it, I feel like I don't have to transcend the limits of my body.
Right.
I can push the limits of my body, but, like, I don't have to be something that my body can't do in order to be a good lover.
You're never going to swallow a sword. You know what I mean? All you need to do is find you a man who loves watching somebody well up. You know
oh my
what I mean?
God.
I well up
that's
like a mother.
So true.
Fucker.
I
just cry sucking dick like I cry doing everything else.
I mean, it's the Joe Osmondson
so
story.
Consistent, Joe.
Your next memoir.
I cry sucking dick.
I think you've set us up really nicely, Joe, to the rest of us. What is the advice that you would, what is the sexual advice you would give to a 20-something you? I'm still 20 something, so no. I guess I just won't participate.
So I will go first as we all know, if you listen to the show, because we talked about it in the very first episode, I was a virgin for anal sex until I was 27.
Mm.
And
the Saturn returns over here.
I am very.
God, that is your Saturn return.
That was my holy shit.
Oh my God.
Holy shit. I never even put that together. Oh my God, you guys.
Yeah.
But this is the thing.
Fran just lost his goddamn mind.
I will never recover.
Fran is done for.
The astrological makeup of your sexual life is mind blowing.
That is, like, epic. And I need to do a tarot reading and go into that. Mm. But this is the thing. I've said for a long time that the reason why I waited for so long was because I really wanted to be in love and be in a relationship. And I was not in love and in a relationship. I actually just got out of a relationship and rebounded and slept with someone. And that's how I lost my virginity, which was, like, a fine experience, but it wasn't, like, what I had waited for. But this is the thing. In thinking about this episode over the last few days, what I realized was that my hesitancy to have sex for that long was wrapped up in so much shame about being attracted to men and being the receptive partner specifically. I have this memory from when I was, like, a teenager and I was coming out, when my mom just sort of said, you mean you want to have sex in your butt? Like, you want to have men fuck you? And it was this moment that really like lodged in my brain. And in that moment, I was just sort of like, well, yeah. But it had this huge impact. And so I say that to say that my advice to my 20-something self is, girl, get on your back, put your legs up, and do it, because you're going to have a good time. And you need to free yourself. Yeah. Like, I needed to free myself sooner.
And the rest will follow.
And the rest will follow. Thank you, En Vogue.
Teams.
I would probably just tell my 20-something version of myself, just love your body, baby. It's the only one you got. It. You know what I mean? Like, it's yours. That's the only thing you have in this world, actually.
It does so much for
you. And don't be so concerned. Don't be so concerned with an imagined somebody else's imagined reaction to your body. Because it's not true. That's your reaction to it. You know what I mean?
There was a prompt from Tin House to me that said, "What is like the what is a book that like fundamentally shifted your life? Like write about it." And I chose to do The Joy of Gay Sex.
Yeah,
which is an incredible
Edmund White
kind of
co-wrote that.
Yeah, Edmund Wright wrote the introduction and co-wrote, and the book has an A to Z kind of like vocabularic archiving of like all the different things you can do during sex or within gay sex with beautiful illustrations.
Yeah.
And I came across this book very shortly after I came out, when I was still harboring a lot of what y'all are talking about, that sexual shame, that religious upbringing, the ways that I hated my body, all these ways that I had negative relationships to sex were being held onto. And then this book found me and I was ashamed of it. I remember like I found it in a very random place in my theater company. I like found it in a box of props and I like waited until everyone left and like put it in my backpack. I was out to everyone. It was fine, but I like still hit it and brought it home, and I remember reading it from cover to cover and just being like, oh, there's so many things that I haven't done. And at first that was like shame, and then I was like, wait, I can just try them. And so my advice would kind of be, don't knock it till you try it.
Don't knock it
because
till you try it.
I did, out of all the letters in that alphabet, I did like 20 to 30 of them within the year after I got that book. You know, like I got so many things that I just like were so many things were unlocked just by saying yes to the things that I didn't want to try because of shame.
And oftentimes I think all you needed was like sometimes your imagination is inhibited by your ignorance, right? And so once you open up the kingdom to gay sex,
the world is yours.
The world is your oyster
and your butthole
the world is your butthole. Put that on a mug.
I've got that feeling like I'm full, but I could fit one more thing inside of me. Dennis knows how I feel. So to lead our dessert segment today, Dee, tell us what you've been thinking of.
Every goddamn day, I'm thinking of the same thing.
What is it, honey?
Bulges. Bulges, bulges, bulges. I love them.
You get a bulge.
And you get a bulge. And you get a bulge. I'm motherfucking Oprah. Up in here. When I tell you that the primary reason that I try to get a seat on the MTA is not because I'm tired, it's not because I'm lazy, it's because it's a better viewpoint for seeing the bulge. Hunting and I'm looking. Who got a bulge that I want? Who got a bulge that I want? Does he? So Dennis, no, he Dennison, doesn't.
Of what variety of bulges are your favorite?
Gray sweatpants.
I love gray sweatpants.
Gym shorts.
Oh my god. Cannot be beat.
Gym short is probably my number one favorite because it's a little easier to see more in my experience.
I actually just love, my favorite bulge is like underwear bulge. When you're like hooking up, but like post hookup flaccid. Flaccid bulge is the bulge that I want.
Really?
Yeah. And I love it.
Get the fuck out of here, Joe.
In a little brief, like when I had a partner and he would like walk around the house in his like briefs and just the bulge would just, the flaccid bulge, I was just like, oh, that's my sexuality.
So that actually the bulge in the brief typically does less for me.
Interesting.
Unless it's really large for some reason. And then, because you know me. And then that works. But no, I love the bulge that's a little bit harder to get to. So I love the bulge in the gym short. I love the bulge in the gray sweatpants. And I love the bulge that is just a dude in his pants going about his day, like in jeans or I love the suit bulge. That's
so
my favorite.
So what you're saying is you love an elusive bulge.
I do. I love an elusive
this is
bulge.
Raiders of the Lost Bulge. I loved. Over here.
I, That's my new name for my mouth. Raider of the Lost Bulge.
Yes, Dennis, the Indiana Jones of bulges.
And because this is the thing. I love to get into like hunting for that bulge and pulling off the different layers of clothes and getting to it. It's like then I've reached a treasure chest.
Oh,
yes.
I feel you, and I don't personally like enjoy jockstrap bulge, for example, because it seems too obvious to me.
Yes, yes, it is right there.
Yeah,
you like to work for it a little bit.
So free balling bulge.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's like the Justin Theroux gif of him running in sweatpants.
Oh, yes.
That gets, running that man gets bulge. Searched.
That gets searched. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Olympic athlete runner bulge. Oh, bouncing when they're running.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Usain Bolt and that arm-sized bulge? Listen.
We're not supposed to be naming names right now, Dennis.
He's an Olympic champion. Whatever.
I love that. Like we talked about John Hamm bulge.
Oh,
you know,
yes,
the Hamm.
Yes.
There's the how do you feel about like singlets and wrestling?
Oh, I'm here for it.
I'm here for it.
I love the feeling of spandex, like the feeling of dick inside of spandex. So like, swim like speedos, singlets. Mm-hmm. That whole like you can let's do frottage.
I love
that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so I love a short, and then the dick. Hanging out the bottom.
That's not hot to me.
That's hot. One of my first boyfriends had these like short. They were like these short American Apparel shorts, and like I would purposely get him hard in those just to watch it rise.
Yeah,
it was so hot. It was so hot.
Oh my god,
I feel you.
What's your favorite genre of bulge, Frank?
I you know what? I'm not much for the sport bulge because of the sports are not my thing. But I love a graceful. I mean, when I have dick appointments, I request that they wear sweatpants.
Wow.
I'll be like, come in sweatpants. Come with a tub of ice cream. We are going to watch that Netflix documentary we've been putting off.
And I'm just going to stare at your bulge the whole time.
You off. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding at all. I love sweatpants bulge. Wow.
Sweatpants bulge is really epic.
I like normal person bulge more than celebrity bulge. I don't find myself super drawn to celebrity bulge pictures.
Really, it's about the bulge.
Yeah, it's about the bulge. I don't care who it's on. It doesn't matter who it's on. Although I will say, I have searched long and hard for like a very good view of Michael Phelps' bulge because I'm so curious, and you really can't find them.
Well, there's the one. There's the one.
Speedo
in his, I know.
Like he's got the body length speedo on.
Yeah, that's the only one.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, is that him or is that the speedo? The body length, like you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know.
Sometimes
has anyone ever found that the bulge was better than the D?
Honestly, bulge is always better than the D.
It's part of the fantasy.
If it's out there, like Ariana Rines has this line in her poem where she's like, "When I saw your cock, my imagination died."
I'm so done.
because it's like then I'm it's so out true. There, and then it's like, okay, well now it's a thing. I'm like,
yeah,
we were talking about porn before, and there's this one genre of porn. It's called Mormon boys, and three quarters of the video is them taking off their many layers of clothes.
And that's the hottest part.
Yeah, it is.
That's the hottest part. I love it. Yes. Yeah, sometimes
my favorite genre of porn is when people are increasingly putting on layers. just more and more layers.
And then leaving the house to go and do work. that is Fran's best porn. Oh. I'm off for the day, honey.
In which a wayfish white boy answers some emails.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Fran is jerking off.
Yes.
Send.
Oh, he sent the email. He sent it.
He sent it. I'm
climaxing upon
the work balls.
Upon scheduling the email to go out at 8 a.m. the next morning.
Yes. Oh, wow. Bulges, y'all.
We love them.
This episode of Food for Thought is made possible by the generous, unequivocal support of Rosé and our new home at Forever Dog. Our producer is the lesbian Ira Glass. Ira Ass? Alexandra De Palma. Our social media manager is the certified Catherine Zeta-Jones historian, Christina Tucker. Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes or see you in hell. I'm Tommy Teebs. Pico, you can find me at Hey Teebs, HeyTeebs on all relevant social media.
Oh, God.
I'm Fran. You can find me at Fran Squish Co. on anything you want, including Venmo.
I'm Joseph Osmondson. You can find me at www.josephosmondson.com.
And I am Dennis Norris II, and you can find me on Twitter at The Earl Denden, TheEarlDenden.
Find us on Instagram as Gay Sluts Who Read, and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Food for Thought Pod, where each week we pin some questions to the top of our page to continue the discussion of this week's main topic. Sign up for our newsletter to see a list of everything we're reading and some extra delectable content at foodforthoughtpodcast.com. And finally, send your questions, thoughts, concerns, and dick pics to thoughts at foodforthoughtpodcast.com. As always, that's food, the number four, and thought spelled how?
T-H-O-T.
Thanks for listening. Mwah! See you next week.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.